Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Raisin Bran? You got to put Raisin Bran up there. Everybody knows it.
It's Mike Shope.
Listen, get your own stupid old dying person team and choose your own cereals.
And the Bulldog.
I shall unleash my fury upon you like the crashing of a thousand waves.
That cereal is soggy. You reach into the fridge for the milk and open the lid on the milk to pour it in there, and that crap is already soggy.
I am untethered and my rage knows no bounds.
That's a terrible.
That's a problem for a cereal.
A huge problem.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's get the update. How many different cereals do you have right now in your house? Do you still have that berry crunch nut oat concoction from Canada?
Triple berry oatmeal crunch. No, we do not have.
You're out of that?
I blew through the last stash.
Colon blow that
we got. I don't have any colon blow, although I did have, I don't even know what, the name of the cereal was just like what's in it. It was like maple flakes and chunks of oats and something else, some store brand something or other that I had a nice frozen bowl of last night.
I have the cranberry maple flakes and oats and right. Chunks.
That is currently the only cereal that's in the house.
Okay.
We're down. We're down bad.
I think I have like four.
Yeah, we're hurting.
Life. Yeah. Cinnamon Life. Mm. Corn Flakes, which I bought because I wanted for a
recipe.
Potatoes recipe.
Yeah.
And of course Cheerios. That's always there. Very plain Jane kind of cereal house I live in.
Yeah.
Nothing. No cartoon characters have ever appeared on a box of cereal in my house. No Count anybody.
I respect that.
No Franken anybody. Yeah. Just it's all very muted.
No Cinnamon Toast Crunches or nothing.
We have had that, I think, but yeah. I don't know what happened. My wife probably just got drunk and bought that. I don't know what happened. She would not normally get drunk or buy that. So something weird happened there. I don't know the story. She got talked into it.
Mm.
It is May 1st. Schedule month.
Oh, yeah, we're there.
Schedule month. You got to love it. I mean, of course, you've been talking about it in your workplace all day. It is 2 weeks from yesterday, May 14th,
right.
Is the schedule. I wanted to play a thing out with you.
Okay.
By the way, I have started a new worksheet.
Oh, good for you.
The last one went badly. So here's the latest on my – I love the schedule – I like to try to guess at it, you know, see what happens, see what makes sense.
Please show everyone on the Twitch.
Here it is.
Wow. That's,
this is what you call a blank slate.
Yeah, that's what that looks like. Yeah. Yeah.
I have written one game down on below.
Is there room to skip lines, or do you not have room for
No.
No. Okay.
No. I would never skip lines.
That just looks too smushed together to me.
Well, there's no room. There's not enough 17 more lines.
There's not 34. Yeah, okay.
No, I would hate it.
Yeah.
I would hate that.
All right.
I did want to have some fun with where we want the six division games. I am excited about, or I love the idea of Bills at Patriots this year. If I were the guy putting the schedule together, which would be the ultimate job in the world, if I had the job of writing the schedule, this would be an interesting game to me. I'd want it to be the game in New England because the Bills are the better team to make for like a closer looking matchup. If I were the guy in that job, I'd want to know, and I think this is the kind of thing maybe that you would know if you had the kind of that kind of authority, what the timetable is for Stephon Diggs. Is he week one? Is he not? Because if he's week one, I love it early. Like, I even like it week one if he's on the field. But if I knew he wasn't going to be on the field, I would want to push it off or just not worry about it. But because he's an integral piece to the idea. Is Diggs, I mean, he's played against the Bills with Houston since, but I like the Patriots with Vrabel, with May, with Diggs, and they've drafted a couple other skill position guys, Travion Henderson, Kyle Williams.
It's funny, I did not, when you brought them up, I started thinking, yeah, that fits. Like they could be the second best team in the division. If it goes right, like they and maybe who knows, maybe they could surprise. So like a late season game there with them, you know, I don't know if they're contending for the division. It might depend on, you know, obviously it depends on how both seasons are going, but they could be contending for a playoff spot. Maybe it's important in the division race. But I didn't even think about Diggs. Like it didn't even click to me. I'm just mostly thinking about them arcing up the rest of the division. Like, I'm a little worried about Miami right now. I think the Jets are...
Worried about Miami for Miami's sake.
Yeah, right. Thank you for clarifying, because I've been pretty bullish on them for a few years here, and I think they might be going the wrong way now. And the Jets, like, I like what they... Like, Aaron Glenn, like, good start over, but they're not getting anywhere this year with Justin Fields as their quarterback, I don't think. So... New England, I think, I think they should pass them, both of them. So they're the second best team. That makes it possible that game is important. If for nothing else, maybe New England's just playoff hopes, if not the division.
Well, I like the idea.
A late season game makes sense to me for them. I don't want to say that guarantees Diggs will be there, but there's a better chance of him not being ready for week one than there is him not being ready for week 13 or something, I would think.
I would think, you know, but that doesn't have to be right.
Right.
If you remember 2 years ago where they put the Bills at the Jets week one at night, I know you remember, Rodgers, and let's see what that is against the team that has won the division, I guess what, then 3 years in a row? Let's test it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you lost Rodgers, you got a good game, an overtime game, and the Jets won it. This is that to me. Let's see what New England is. And I think, you know, the fact that it's New York versus New England doesn't really matter to me. I'd want to put the Bills there, you know, in a primetime spot. If I had Diggs, I'd want it. I'd nominate it for week one Monday night, or just week two, three, whatever you need to do here. That would be one preference for me, that, you know, just from a league standpoint, I think that's a pretty good looking, you know, you're putting a team that won how many games on prime time? Four, the Patriots. But with the upgrades, with Vrabel at home, I've already said it. So I like that early. And then I would like the second Patriots game somewhere in the middle, because I think I want the Jets to, or the Dolphins to be the finale. With the stadium in mind. I don't know why that's different from New England, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I really follow the motivation there. Did we figure out that what was the first regular season game in the stadium? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Was it the Jets?
Yes. 73.
So, right. So from a synergy standpoint, you know, that's even in my brain, that's symmetrical. Things like that usually appeal to me. I think I made this same point whenever we talked about this, whenever that was, that I would nominate that, the Jets, For that reason alone.
Week 18?
Week 18. They would outweigh the Patriots for a finale simply because they were the first regular season opponent the Bills faced in a stadium that they are now going to be closing. So give me that Week 18. Jets here. I don't need, 1 o'clock Sunday is fine. I mean, I doubt that that game would rate as a later game for playoff purposes, you know, that they're saving or something. It's very unlikely.
Let's hope not.
So that would be my choice.
Want me to write that in?
Yeah. I mean, it's your sheet. I'm not prepared to make one.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not going to make your own?
No.
You don't want to compete with mine?
No.
I'm writing that in. I like that too. Whether it's the synergy or not, I mean, you're going to play a division opponent that week. Doesn't have to be a home game. I like it as a home game. You know, hopefully for the Bills' sake, there's playoffs, but that you sort of like get to celebrate the end of the stadium at home, you know, to cap the season. So I like that. What do you want to do with the Patriots then? You're with me on the road early?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, sure. Because honestly, I didn't even need the Diggs part of it. I mean, that does make it juicier, obviously. But like you said, that's not as intriguing, interesting, because he played against them last year already. So that doesn't have as much. It's still got juice, all right? I mean, it adds to a regular season matchup. I don't know that I really need nighttime for that. New England will probably get some love in that way, and Monday is not like the marquee night. So, I mean, I guess I'm not against it, but it's to me, the Bills have enough other, and all of their marquee opponents, especially the ones here, are not going to be nighttime games. Maybe there'll be a 425 or two mixed in there. You get that prime window afternoon doubleheader thing. But I don't know that I need it to be a night game, but early in the year, fine.
Okay.
Actually, when you started talking, though, my thought was, if they are the second...
Get me out of here? Was that your thought?
Definitely not. The
When's my flight?
If they are the second best, I checked in. The second best team in the division, and the Bills are, quote-unquote, at least when the schedule gets made, the better team, then I might like that game in December in New England. Because it could be important for both teams. Bills for seeding, for the division, New England to make the playoffs. Maybe they're challenging for the division. I don't know how well you can expect their year to go and how badly you could expect the Bills' year to go. But still, you surprised me when you said, like, week one or early nighttime. I could work with closing my season at New England week 17 and at home for the Jets week 18. That would work for me.
Well, we disagree there. I really like Bills at Patriots early primetime. We had Bills at Dolphins last year, week 2 on a Thursday night. Then it was week 3, Patriots at Jets on that Thursday night. That doesn't have to mean anything to this year, of course. What about Miami? What's that? Or is primetime NFL maybe done with Buffalo at Miami? You want to take a year off? Can we take a year off from the Bills and Dolphins playing a night game?
I think that would be advisable.
I think it's time. Take some time apart.
I wonder if the league views them as a descending asset.
Miami? At this
point. Yeah.
Get them on early because that's when they're good?
Like maybe I like the idea of trading New England for Miami in that way. Like that trip's a primetime wire for me because, you know, what I'm saying here is I think New England is going to displace Miami as the second best team in the division. So maybe that rates as a night game. Like you said, initially, I wasn't thinking of it that way, but now you brought up Miami and that they played at night. Yeah. I don't need to see Bills Miami in primetime.
No, I don't either.
No, either game, like the game here either. I don't, you know, it's
play them. I mean, play them in the afternoon. You don't have to play them in the morning.
No,
they're not that bad.
No, I'm not saying that.
Still either. Josh Allen.
Yeah.
All right, so anywhere for the Dolphins?
Kinda, yeah.
Since I like Patriots away early, I'll like Patriots home mid to late, and I guess I want the Dolphin road game to be in between the Patriots and the Jets home games. So it's not just like three away, three home.
Yeah.
I made that mistake last time. one of the things that I wrote it all in,
yeah.
and I didn't like that about my schedule last time.
Maybe take special care to not separate the games by too many weeks, because we saw, like, last year the Bills didn't play. Was it New England that they didn't play until very late? Both games were
2 years ago.
2 years ago, that was.
Right.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I felt there was something
was
like that last year too. That the games just came. Both New England games. New England December 22nd here, and then they closed.
Yep.
Yeah, they closed there on January 5th.
2 weeks apart. That's right. Yeah. I hated that.
Yeah. So
I don't want that.
You know, I don't want it, but you know, apparently the league doesn't seem to care that much about it. So you might, if you're trying to put a schedule together that might actually be what they do, maybe keep that in mind.
What do you like for week one?
Week one.
I'm open to at New England week one, prime time or not, but I can wait. I want to know Diggs. They're not going to know Diggs maybe
they're
before
not, they might, they
May
might,
14th.
They might not. So if that matters a lot, and I get why it would, you might want to table that.
Did you hear about the thing that happened on Monday?
A lot of things happened on Monday.
Where the Bills general manager went on local radio and talked about, like, wide receiver, we're good?
I did. You know what? I hadn't heard a lot about it until this morning as I was walking off the 18th hole at Delaware Park. Someone who plays there recognized me and said something about, like, no more wide receiver talking. I said, what are you talking about? And he explained everything to me. So now I'm up to speed, I think.
Definitely don't talk about the thing everybody's talking about that happened in your building. Was his message?
That was his.
That's a guy who knows what's up.
That was what he wanted to get across to me. Yes.
That's a guy who knows what's
up. You know
what
I said? It's never going to stop, is what I said.
You say that to me, I'm doing it no matter what. I wasn't going to, but I am now, buddy. Week one. Do you like home? Away?
I always like
week one. Last year the stadium?
I always like week one at home. I wonder if it being the last year in the stadium carries some. It's your last home opener. I mean, you're going to have a home opener no matter what if you play on, you know, week one and week two, even on the road. You're going to have a home opener. But for the first game of the season, I feel like I want that to be a home game. It's your last time, right? So it's your last chance to have the first game of the year be the opener at home opener that. I hope the league respects that. It's obviously sentimentality, and you know they might just bulldoze that over. But I like home, and I would suspect that they would sort of respect that when making the schedule.
Is it that important? What's more important, to open at home or close when it's the last year of the stadium? I think close.
I think close is more important, but everything is going to be the last time.
The last everything, yeah.
So
the last everything.
I would like to have one last opening day be at home, if that makes sense. I know they would have, eventually you will have a home opener, even if it's put off for a week or two. But
yep.
I like the idea of the season is starting. We've had the one game. I even like this for a 1 o'clock Sunday, just to sort of be a part of that's the most frequent game time we've had over the years. For a while, it was all we ever had. We had nothing.
I'll tell you what. I love a 4 o'clock, now it's 4:25 usually, week one home game. 1991, Miami, off the Super Bowl 25 season. Great rival, played in the playoffs the year before, Enberg, like, that's a. Are these familiar things? The number 1991, Enberg. It'll be on the podcast. It'll all be explained. 4 o'clock, just like the weather and the light. You know, September.
The light is pretty cool if it's the right kind of day. Yeah,
I like that a lot.
Yeah,
you could take a Bengals game and do that. It'd have to be a good game. Like a good opponent.
For it to be 4-4.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're not putting New Orleans
right
at Buffalo at 4:25 on week one.
Right.
They have the extra home game, too.
Yeah.
If you pack in a couple of road games, it'll look like all the rest of the games are at home.
I really don't mind if I get week one, for me, my preference, week one, 1 o'clock home. I don't need it to be somebody really great. If you want to jam me up with Tampa or New Orleans, the gift I'm getting is that I'm doing this for the opener one more time. And so I'm not saying I want you to set me up with a patsy necessarily, but I don't need it to be, you know, Baltimore or Philadelphia or, you know, anybody, any of the marquee teams they're playing. I think the home opener sells itself. I mean, all these games sell themselves anyway. It's not like they're going to have trouble moving tickets for these games or anything, but just as an attraction, I think almost every game is attractive this year, regardless of the opponent, because of the stadium.
Well, this is really going too far, but they have 9 home games, 7, including the division, which are good for nostalgia and rivalry stuff, are up here, and then New Orleans and Tampa Bay are down here. New Orleans and Tampa Bay, I mean, they're NFL teams, although not everybody could name them. We discussed this the other day. Not everybody could remember the names of the teams I just mentioned, New Orleans and Tampa Bay. But they're kind of like just so unappealing to me. Tampa Bay is probably actually good.
Yeah.
But there's almost no history. Just did it with Arizona last year. I don't think I want that. And I don't think I want the division at home in week one because I want to end with it. And the other games are all too good. It's the 3 division games. It's the Saints and the Bucks, and then it's Baltimore, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Philadelphia. And I don't think you're putting – I mean, Philadelphia can't be in week one. They're going to have Thursday night. Right. No way is it the Chiefs.
Nope.
If it's the Ravens, it's at night, and I doubt it. And then Cincinnati, I doubt that's a night game. It's just almost even the Bengals feel too strong. 4:25, I'd listen to that. Then what am I left with? I'm left with the Bucks, the Saints –
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today
with Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And the road games.
Right. The division games, you mean. Yeah.
No, the road games. Like,
oh, I'm
playing on the road.
Right, of course.
For home, yes. The Bucks, the Saints, and the division games.
Right.
I don't know. I don't love it. Now, you don't make the schedule by one team. Not everybody gets all their preferences. But for me, if I'm trying to sort of map it out, I feel like week one's away.
Yeah, that might end up being right, of course. I wonder, like, how much, you know, Sal mentioned something to us last week about how Pittsburgh – right, it's the or maybe it was just this week because it was after the draft. How Mark Murphy said something about how Pittsburgh may protect their Green Bay game, right? So if teams do get the opportunity to, like, maybe you get an email from Mike North or someone, you know, somebody in his orbit that says, like, hey, Brandon Bean or Pete Coeli, you know, whomever. Do you have any preferences for your schedule? Like, mm-hmm. Are there any things you'd like? And you can make a list, and you know when you submit the list that you may, it may be completely ignored. But you're going to get a chance at least to say, these are things that we would like. And with the last year of the stadium, I don't know if any of the people I mentioned or it's someone else that would be making this call would be like-minded like me, but I feel like opening at home would be on that list. For, like, it's our last year, and we want to close. And so if it can be facilitated, then maybe the league would try to make that happen for you. But I have no idea if that would be the Bills' preference. You know, it just happens to be mine.
Miami, then.
That would work fine. Like, I've already said, it doesn't matter to me who it is. Like, I would settle for the Saints or the Bucks. I don't need it to be somebody that I really care about emotionally.
Oh, get it up in the locker room. Get it on the bulletin board. I would settle for the Saints or the Bucks.
Right.
Bulldog. You hear that, guys? They're giving us no chance. In the Saint, this is the Saints locker room, the Saints bulletin board now.
Yeah.
They're giving us no chance up there. And the players are probably like, yeah, that seems right.
Right.
You ever watch them play?
I'm inclined to agree.
You seen our roster?
Yeah. Right.
All right, well, with the schedule, of course, it's all just total guesswork, even more so than the draft is. But it's fun. What do you want? Last year of the stadium. Are we done with the draft? Not necessarily. More talk about what they did, what they didn't do. Tyler Dunn spent an hour with Brandon Bean. Man, Brandon Bean, maybe I shouldn't have been kidding about The View. I think he would do it.
Yeah.
I think he would go on The View right now. What do you want?
He's out there.
Tyler wrote that their time was up and Bean, like, rescheduled his next meeting to keep talking. He really wants to be out there right
yes,
now.
Yes, it seems that way.
Not that that's bad. I don't think it's bad. It's interesting, maybe.
Right. But Tyler's not coming today.
Tyler's on tomorrow.
He'll be on tomorrow.
Yeah, the article's out today.
Yes, right.
And I bring it up because there were a couple of interesting things that Bean said on the heels of what happened on Monday that I think would be good to bring up. Mike Giardi today, Boston Sports Journal. He'll join us at 4. We're hoping to get Paul on too. The Amherst are in Syracuse, hoping to close out a sweep in their series. Devin Levi has been great. Kulik also, especially, I guess, in game 2. And so we'll probably talk to Paul. Looks like 6 o'clock for that, right before the Amherst game in Syracuse. 803-0550. We know a lot of you have been listening the last few days. What hasn't been said? Let us know. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
I think there is some good football left in there, but there was way more forgettable games than there was memorable games. I referenced that Denver game where Jerry Jeudy played much better than he did in that game. But, like, you get like 2 or 3 games a year with Elijah Moore where you're like, that's the talent, that's where it is. And outside of that, it's just a lot of just mediocre to even some games where he just was a complete non-factor.
Let's talk about this. Jonathan Peterlin, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, visiting with Sal today on the Extra Point Show. Midway or little after through yesterday's show, the Bills, it came out, were signing wide receiver Elijah Moore, late of the Browns, drafted in 2021 by the Jets, pick 34 overall, pretty good, but has not really put much of a career together. Only 25, was a pretty exciting prospect coming into the league, but then it becomes either, well, what chance did he have to produce with the quarterbacks he's played with and the teams versus, yeah, but Garrett Wilson did it. I mean, other guys do it. Jeudy.
What's his problem? Yeah.
Right. Other guys do it. So what does this signing mean? It's above a couple of the moves they made last year.
I definitely think that's right. I put it ahead. I mean, the money could tell you, although it could just be inflation in the case of, like, Valdez-Scantling. It's close to that. And we don't know what all the details on this. Up to 5 point something, I think, is all we know at this point. So I don't know what he's got coming, how much guarantee, if any, et cetera. But I feel like it's more than the flyer they threw on Chase Claypool or even MVS. You know, but it doesn't rate much more. It's a friend of mine texted me last night after we got done at home, said, "Is this Moore guy any good?" And I said, "He, it's worth it. I'm happy they did it. I'm definitely not upset that they did it. I'm glad they did it. But he's probably just a guy. Like he's my friend said back to me, cool, that's our specialty, right? That's what we've got. We've got a room full of guys who are just guys.
That's not entirely a joke.
No, I know. I know.
The Bills would kind of have to own that.
Yeah. And look, that worked well enough. You know, I mean, they did do all the things that Brandon Bean was boasting about on the radio on Monday and in further media appearances, like talking to Tyler Dunn, like you said, and whatever else he's done. I don't know if he's made The View yet. But nonetheless, they made that work. So, you know, to me, it's definitely worth trying. I never want to stop adding. So, you know, I think if you're in the camp of I want more there, I don't think you have enough there, and they sign a guy, however checkered, and this guy's career is not as checkered as even Claypool's is. I mean, he's continued to produce, albeit at a very medium level, but it's not, to me, like a guy that is absolutely on the scrap heap at this point.
No.
So
Claypool almost, like, it wasn't that he did a lot. But he did have, as a rookie, he
smashed
big.
Yes.
And by last year, he was out of the league.
And Moore doesn't have that. He doesn't have that one year where you could go, boy, if I could just unlock that.
He does not.
He does not have that. So I like it. You know, I what ends up happening, like if I had to predict right now, it probably is not much of a needle mover at all. But it could be. And so, you know, all it takes is a play or two to make you go, oh, good. Oh, look, they got that guy. Look at that guy.
It's not just like you just go and get as many guys as you can because the money just doesn't matter. Ultimately, the money does matter. And it's up to $5 million. Maybe it really won't seem like much, but it's a real investment in Palmer. I mean, you sort of push back on it's a lot of money, but it's 11. And Samuel, what is Samuel, 8, 6 or 8, whatever he is?
In that range. I think the cap number is like 9, so I don't know.
Shakir is 15 now. Like, they've put decent dollars.
It will be. It's not this year. His cap number is still really low.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, they made a commitment there. But, you know, the reason I push back on it is, and Bean said that again in the interview that he did with Tyler that we've already referenced a couple times, is I did read that this morning. You know, he's talking about this big commitment he's made to Palmer. And, I'm sorry, on the scale of commitments in the NFL for receivers, $11 million is not really that much. Maybe it's the middle.
Well, you wouldn't want to pay $11 million to a guy that doesn't play.
No, definitely not.
And
so I know he's going to play, and they've got plans for him. But it's just not—I don't know. It's not a flag I would fly. Like, look at our commitment.
Okay.
Because it looks like you did the best you could with what the market was. You weren't prepared, to go pay 35 for somebody, and that's fine. Like, I'm not arguing. As much as we get, you know, intrigued by the idea of trading for that DK Metcalf or whomever, I understand that there are things in the way of doing that, but it just isn't to me like, look what I did. It's sort of, hey, I did a thing is more how I would put it. And I don't know, maybe that pisses him off that anyone would phrase it that way, but whatever, that's how I look at it.
Bean, so it's just more, I don't want to say necessarily that it's damage control, but you know, he's done a few different shows. He spends his time with Tyler Dunn. Good. He did say that he thought last year it was totally fair and reasonable to question what they were doing at wide receiver. He said that to Go Long TD. Like, last year, have at it.
He said that to Jared too on Monday.
Okay, good. We traded Diggs. We lost Davis. Yep. It's Mac Hollins. You know, like, go ahead. Last year he thought the questions were fair, and this year he just doesn't. Don't say I haven't done anything. Signing Palmer is a thing, and he talked about it to Tyler like he thought it was a pretty big deal.
Yep.
Whether it rates highly enough for you financially or not, I think Palmer is important to Brandon Bean.
I think that that's very clear, yes.
So Coleman, Kincaid. He was interesting about Kincaid in the article, and he sort of criticized himself for not being clearer at the end of the season about what he wanted from Kincaid publicly. Like, just stronger, getting off your man at the snap, right? Being able to muscle through your guy there.
I feel like he used the phrasing armor yourself a couple times.
Okay. So that's what he was more specific, and he said he wished that at the press conference he had made more of a deal about Kincaid being hurt. Like, that he played through a knee injury and wanted to give him credit for that. He felt like the way he put it after the season that he didn't really make enough about that. So all of that, this year he doesn't want to hear it. Last year he said it was okay. This year it's not okay to question their commitment. It's always two things, commitment and results. And he also, one more point, at the risk of driving everybody crazy about it again, he referred back to actually both of the Carolina teams when he worked there that went to the Super Bowl, 2003 and then 2015. And in 2015, he showed to Tyler Ted Ginn, Jericho Cotchery, Philly Brown, and a rookie, Devin Funchess, were their four receivers. They led the league in points, 31.2 points per game. He isn't directly saying this, although McDermott has. When McDermott used to say, I know what it looks like, before it actually showed up, he would be like, I know what it looks like. You got to trust me here. And, you know, if you did, good for you, because it manifested. And that's kind of how Bean was talking again in this article today. I don't know when the interview was, maybe even yesterday, but it doesn't mention Elijah Moore, I think. So I want to assume, I should ask Tyler, that this was all before they made that official.
I think that's right. Sometime between Monday morning and yesterday afternoon, I think, is what the timing looks like. Because I agree, I don't think I saw anything in there about Elijah Moore.
Here's Mike with us. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Well, first off, the thing you just mentioned, I was going to mention about the two Carolina teams that he mentioned in the article. I mean, those teams didn't win, though. They got there. They didn't win nothing, though. You know, so I know he's wrestling with that. But anyways, my original point I called, he's talking about last year and we scored 30 points with that, the same kind of team or whatever. Is he not aware that defensive coordinators in the league get paid to stop that in the offseason? They're going to get their pins out, and it's not going to be the same as probably as it was last year. And he keeps resting on that. Like, the 31 other teams aren't going to, like, you know, be in the lab too, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, good luck to them. Bill's offense has been good to great for 5 years in a row, you know, starting with Allen. So Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, good luck to the defensive coordinators in those situations. It's pretty harsh to say to Carolina didn't win. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl farther than this Bills team has gone. So give them that. What he was saying about the 15 Panthers, and also 2003, was that this blueprint that you just saw in this draft, defensive line, pressure up the middle, is what those teams were great at. And, like, no, we weren't, I'm paraphrasing, we weren't always great. He wasn't even that flattering on Newton in the comments to Tyler. It's like, he won the MVP, sort of felt like he might have had that voice on when he was talking about Newton. But it was that they wrecked you on the defensive line. Really, both lines, he was saying. But that's clearly, do we need to hear him say it? That's clearly where he wants this team to be stronger. And the offensive line is already good, so this draft didn't really require any work on that front, but defensive line absolutely did. What they did, what he said over and over now, lines up. This is how we want to win. Get Mahomes to the ground. We haven't been able to do it. That's actually pretty close to an actual quote. We haven't been able to do it. We need to do it to win.
The one piece that I think is still sort of missing, and it really depends on, and I guess for Bean, you know, the way he talked about Palmer in the article to Tyler, because I don't know how much Palmer came up specifically on Monday when he was running so hot with Jeremy and Joe, But like I've been over here, like now they've added a second guy. Two guys out, only one guy came in, right? Holland's left. Cooper has not been re-signed. He's still out there and available, but I mean I can't imagine that's in the wind in any way. But they did pivot to getting a guy whose resume far outclasses any of the guys that are on this team currently, and certainly outclasses Palmer's contract. But what they actually ended up getting out of Cooper, maybe he feels like it's fair to expect they will get that out of Palmer. And like that, so I can't be so hard on that, because again, the money is a part of that. So because I felt like, great, you went and got a guy that is somewhere in between Hollins and Cooper on the spectrum, right? And you probably can't get much further than that financially and who was available. And maybe considering what impact Cooper had, I mean, certainly statistically, you're going to hope that Palmer does better than that even. But his resume, route running, getting open, separation, those things could give you what Cooper gave them. And maybe that has to suffice. And now that Moore's here, they've got the one more guy that they were missing. And so, you know, I might look at it now as though the cupboard is reasonably full. It really depends on how bullish you want to be about Palmer.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, coming up in 20 minutes. Paul Hamilton at 6. The Amerks try to close out their first playoff series of the postseason tonight in Syracuse. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Welcome back. Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, coming up after 4. Always a great conversation. Schedule's coming together.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It is. It's time for a night game.
Show the kids on Twitch. What do you got so far?
Well, let me ask you this first.
Okay.
Who do I want for a Sunday night home game in week 6?
Sunday night.
I've already used Cincinnati.
Home game week 6.
Not in prime time. Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Baltimore?
Baltimore.
Not Philadelphia?
No, I like the Eagles later in the year for some reason. I'm not really sure I can tell you why. It just feels like an NFC. Could be like Fox wants the 425 window for that game.
Like Dallas was?
Yeah. So that I just feel like that gets pushed further down the road.
Is Brady going to be doing games again?
I haven't heard that he was resigned or let go.
No, I haven't either.
There is the ownership part of that.
They're still going ahead with that?
Seems like they don't care. So, yeah, I'm assuming he's going to be doing games.
All right. You like Baltimore there?
Yeah, I guess I would say I like Baltimore there. Yeah.
Philadelphia at Buffalo. Dallas at Buffalo 2 years ago now was a late season 4 o'clock game, 425. Mm-hmm. San Francisco was this game last year, and that was a Sunday night game.
Right.
I think I like the Eagles more. I know you're doing your own.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah.
All right, we'll keep working.
No peeking. Yeah, that Dallas game was week 15.
Yes, the James Cook game.
Right.
Would you call it that? Have there been other James Cook games? So he's too sort of a regular to have a game. Like there's no Josh Allen game.
Right.
Because they're all Josh Allen games.
I mean, it is a game where they blew out their opponent.
Allen completed 7 passes.
And Allen threw for 94 yards. Mm-hmm. Cook ran for 179 in the game. I guess that might be as close to a James Cook game as we'd have. And it's prior to last year where he sort of really blasted off and became, I mean, he had 1,000 yards in 23, but he was not thought of the way that he is now after 16 regular season touchdowns last year, rushing touchdowns.
Remember, and I don't expect you to, I'd be flattered if you did, last year when the schedule came out and then once they put the lines up for every game, I bet multiple units on the Bills to beat San Francisco because there's just no way San Francisco is coming here on a Sunday night. They were in Green Bay the week before, if I remember right. Like, forget it. No. Betting football is so hard. But sometimes, you know, you just, I'm sure there are times when you feel just as confident and you're wrong.
Right,
but
right.
The Dallas game the year before, I was the same way. Like, there's no way Dallas is coming to Buffalo in December. It's going to be so dark and cold. They're going to want to quit. And exactly, they totally did. Like, it was the worst game of the year. Dallas just had no interest in playing that day. San Francisco didn't lie down. They just fumbled at the 5-yard line a few times.
And they were banged up coming in to begin with. They just were not having a year. Dallas was not, like, they weren't wheezing coming into the game like San Francisco maybe was.
No, but I made the prediction like months out.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just going to be bad. I don't think I feel that way about the Eagles.
No, I don't either. No,
I'm not expecting the Eagles-Bills game to just be a walkover.
Considering that they won in Philly in like a sideways rainstorm 2 years ago, I don't think the weather, I'm not going to worry about them with the weather, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm not already lining up to bet the Bills cover against Philadelphia and whenever that is. May 14th for the schedule. I saw a 2026 mock draft today. I will tell you about that later. So I want to give you time to prepare.
Okay.
I'll tell you about that later.
Did it include Arch Manning?
I think 101.
Yeah. Is that, I feel like...
The Bills did not take him in this particular mock draft.
I've seen already, I mean, it's so early for this, but plenty of people referencing Peyton and Eli's careers and saying, like, he's played 9 games. He's not going to just start for Texas this year and come out. He's probably going to play, he'll be there a third year. And I think there's a lot of merit to that, but that also ignores, like, if he smashes and looks like halfway through the year like he's going to be the 101, then maybe, yeah, you know what? Okay. 17 games was enough. I'm out. But
that's what happens.
Right, right. But I don't know. I'm not assuming he's going to be a part of the class at this point, I guess.
He goes to the Browns with the first overall pick in 2026, and they I'm not sure. They don't have to play the Bills. If they finish last, I guess they wouldn't. Trying to think of a scenario where he is the starter. Like the Sal's thing about the quarterbacks that have made their debuts against the Bills.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be next. Don't know yet. Mike Giardi next. Thanks for being with us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.